staring at the beauty of the king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our king.
Hi, I'm Lion Rex Onosia, and I've got good news for you. You've got to keep watching this space, all right? What's coming? It's the Influence of the Spirit podcast. You heard it right. The Influence of the Spirit podcast. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ, plus walking in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing. Hi, my name is Lion Rex Onosia. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes the new creation, that's the born-again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow, yes, and that's it really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you, looking forward to great times together. God bless you.
Hello and welcome to the Influence of the Spirit. Yes, it's our weekly hangout and I always look forward to it. I believe you do too, right? Yeah, so good to be here. I mean, we're streaming right now 3-4 platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Spreaker. So it's just amazing, all right, that, you know, very many people hooked up with different platforms, same event, and then we're all just getting blessed. It's exciting. So how's it been for you? The last set of things we've been teaching, quite, okay, informative, helpful. All right, let me know, please. All right, send feedback. All right, you could drop an email. The email address is right there on your screen. If you're listening on audio, it's REVREX. That's RevRex at LarryRexOnOsanya.com. All right, so RevRex, all right, at LarryRexOnOsanya.com. So please, feedback, all right? Just let's know how it's been for you, what's blessed you. You could drop a comment right on the platform, all the platforms you're on. You could leave a comment, all right? Let's know, you know, this is it. This is how it's been for me. So thank you. Thank you for always being here and for always tuning in, all right? Some do live and some catch up later. By all means, you know, a whole lot to me. Thank you. Now, we focused a lot in the last 3 weeks about focused on who's leading you, what's leading you, all right? So who, what, fear, all right, people, profit, you know, expertise and all of that. And I ended last week saying we need to talk about the place of emotions, because emotions shouldn't lead you. Now, God gave you your emotions, okay? You have to understand that. But God didn't give you your emotions that they lead. The emotions are a very, 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 very good slave, but a very horrible master. You're not to be led by them. Okay, I'll use another word now. Feelings. Okay, then I'll use another word. Sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Meaning we don't walk by sensory perception. That's what the sight there is. It's we don't walk by our senses. All right. We don't walk by our feelings. We don't walk. You don't relate with God based on, so God, I feel like I'm not worthy. So your feelings have to, you know, now match up against the word of God. So Bible says you've been bought by the blood. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you don't feel worthy, but Bible says, you know, God has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. So you look at your feelings, you look at the word. You don't go by your feelings. You don't say, "Hey, I don't feel it." That's how you feel. It's what you feel, but you tell your feelings, "Uh-uh." We're lining up with the word of God. Please understand that. We're lining up with the word of God. So you don't live by feelings. You get that? So you're not led by your feelings. I understand this. I'm going to tie this up into a very solid teaching we need to look into, all right? So same for God tells you to win a soul, you to preach to someone. You know you always don't feel like, right? But the word says do, your feeling says I don't want to. Do, I don't want to. Do, I don't want to. All right, you need to go on a fast. Maybe half a day, full day, 3 whole days, you know, you want to go on a fast. I don't want to. You should. I don't want to. You should. I don't want to. You should. So you can't be led by feelings. Okay? Your feelings, like I said, they are horrible masters. If you're led by feelings, you'll be very carnal. All right? You'll be sense ruled. You'll be flesh ruled. That's, you know, what you'll be. You'll be a person of the senses. And you cannot operate spiritual things in the senses. You cannot operate spiritual things when you always, you know, give room for the sense. Some might say, "Hey, but I have a couple of friends who, you know, they don't seem to be very spiritual. They even, you know, do what they feel like doing when they want to. But, you know, I mean, not like they do bad stuff, but, you know, and then the flow gifts of spirit. You could be carnal and flow gifts of spirit. Is that okay? Let's pick up from the first book or letter that Paul wrote to Corinthian church. To 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. Oh, no. Let's go to chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. So Paul says, "And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." That's Paul talking to them, a whole church, not a group of folk a whole church. Brethren, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you, all right? I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For up until now, you are not able to bear it. Even now, you are still not able to bear it. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is amongst you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? So he's calling them carnal, all right? Carnal, all right? Carnivorous, carnal, all right? Carnivorous, flesh-eating. So carnal, to be fleshy, to be of the flesh, to be sense-ruled. So their senses had a better part of them. Their senses governed them. They were ruled by feelings. They were ruled by moods. They were ruled by, yes, the flesh. So Paul says, carnal. And he says, you are carnal. Are you not carnal? Verse 3, and walk as men. All right. Some say mere men. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? So you must understand that this points to two things. Number one is the fact that the new creation in Christ is not a mere man. All right. Are you not kind of walk as men? If you're going to use King James, you're not kind of walk as men. It means you're not a man. How do you say, what am I? Are you a new creature? All right. Yes, a person, you're man. Even Christ is man. All right. Jesus Christ is man, but you're a divine human being, not just a human being. All right. Or a human divine being. You're first human, then divinity resides, moved into you when you got born again. So we could say you're a human divine being. And then you could call Jesus a divine human being. First divine and then human. We first human and then divine. All right. But it says, now, a whole church, carnal, I couldn't talk to you as deep spiritual people. Now, I want you to see something in the first chapter and then the fourth verse. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace given unto you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him in utterance, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even so as the testament of Christ confirmed in you. So that, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As in, these guys come behind in no gift. You want to talk about any operation of spirit amongst them, you find it with the Corinthian church. That's why we go to chapter 12 and Paul begins to teach them how to better operate and cooperate with the things of the spirit. In chapter 12, 13, and 14. So they had the gifts of the spirit, but they were carnal. So it's possible to have gifts of the spirit and to allow the flesh or the senses to rule you. All right? So Paul is saying, hey, so don't let the giftings, all right, be, all the affirmation that you need. Well, I prophesy, so it means, everything I do might be right. Everything you do might not be right. They are gifts of the Spirit. God gives gifts to his children, all right? And he gives gifts because he wants you also to be a blessing to somebody else. Are you getting this? So we're dealing still with emotions. Don't be led by emotions. Don't be led by emotions. Don't be led by emotions. Do you understand that? Now, so I'm going to backtrack and get back in. Aha. 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 23. Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please note that again. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, meaning completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here mentions the threefold nature of man, the three parts of man, spirit, soul, body. You cannot effectively develop deep spiritual walk, all right, without understanding these three parts. You cannot effectively grow spiritually. You cannot advance as you need to spiritually without understanding these three parts and, you know, properly placing them. So this is a beautiful topic we're entering into, and I believe it will be very, very, very enlightening, educative, refreshing, strengthening, all right? This is important. Now, so Paul says spirit, soul, body, and I would love that you take note of the order in which he called them. Spirit, soul, body. I know sometimes people say mind, body, and spirit. Mind, spirit, and body. Body, mind, and spirit. You know, and then we see all of that. But no, the order is spirit, soul, body. And someone wonders, why is this important? What's so valuable? What's so interesting about this? The core part of man was mentioned first. Spirit. The core part of man was mentioned first. Spirit. Are you getting this now? So, when you talk about body, or your sense rule, the things that will concern you a lot more will be soulish things or physical things. There are three parts. So with the body, all right, we relate to the physical world, this world we're in, with physical things. All right, with our spirit, we relate with God. With our soul, all right, we relate with mental, soulish things. So you would enjoy entertainment if you realize more than you want to feed and study, you know, feed your spirit or study the Bible, because, you know, it appeals to the soul. All right. The Bible study might not appeal to the soul. And I learned something from Gloria Copeland very many years ago. She was talking about the place of the feelings. She said, listen, don't wait for your feelings to move. You move your feelings and your feelings. I mean, you move and then your feelings will catch up. So I was saying earlier, if you're told to go on evangelism, your feelings don't want to. But guess what? You go. Talk to the first person. And then talk to the second person. After a while, they'll be telling you, oh, brother, oh, sister, we need to get back home right now. Time's up. Because you've gotten into the flow. Your feelings caught up. But if you wait for the feelings to start out, the feelings usually wouldn't. Have you been asked to come for a prayer meeting somewhere? You felt, oh, maybe not today. And then you went. And then first 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then poof, you sparked off. Or maybe on your own. You tried praying, and then you were draggy. And then draggy. And then cold, and then it started picking up until you lost track of time. If you waited for your feelings, you would never get a lot of things. You never have gotten a lot of things done. If you wait for your feelings, you would not get a lot of things done. Feelings are great slaves. When they catch up with you, you can now ride on them. They are great horses you can ride on. All right? But then they are wild horses, all right, when they are not tamed, when you allow them to run free, you won't do spiritual things. Are you getting this? So this is what we're needing to learn. There's a spirit, soul, body. There's an outward man. There's an inward man. There's an outward man. There's an inward man. There's an outward man. There's an inward man. Once again, with the body, this outer compartment, we contact the physical world. We touch. We see with the body. We feel with the body, all right? With the soul, we interface with intellectual, soulish things. With the spirit, we relate with God. Are you understanding that? So a number of things we learn in school are between the soul and the body. The experiments in the laboratories, you put the things together and ooh, and then you cook, you taste, it's those two. And so much money spent annually just on those two. To trim your size, to gym, very many things on fitness and, tummy trimming and you know what I'm talking about. So much money in that industry. All right. What about the mind? I mean, education and then trainings and all them concerts and shows and entertainment. It's so. At the end of it all, and that's, coming again to why you must learn to say spirit, soul, body, spirit, soul, body. Why you must learn to put it in that order? Because we could live so much of life in those two other realms that that's where life is. And usually that's why when someone, passes on, dies, as far as we're concerned, the person is gone. No. Person just is no longer here. But when all of life is here for us, then it is. So you find many believers, because their minds are here, they've lost kingdom sense. You know, very many years ago, the Church of Jesus was told we're too heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good, just waiting for the coming of the Lord. And then church wasn't buying lands and, believers are not, achieving great things, and all of that. But right now, there seems to be a great flip. The church is really like so earthly minded right now that we need to wake up to be of very serious kingdom good. All right. We need to be awake to do that. You've got to understand the spirit, the soul, the body. Now, you, brother, you, sister, you, my brother, my sister, you are primarily spirit. You have a soul, and then you live in a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So God communicates not with your body. Neither does he communicate with your soul. He communicates with your spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Did you get that? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. There's a higher union than marriage. Marriage is high. It's the height of union in human relationships. The Bible says two become one flesh. You understand that? 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that. Ephesians tells us that. Genesis tells us that. Two become one flesh. But it says the one joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It's a higher union. It's not fleshy union. It's spirit. Your spirit and God's spirit have come into a union. Come into a oneness. In 1 Corinthians, the two message translation also says that. About the fact that his spirit and our spirit are in holy communion. There's this union about the two spirits. So God communicates with your spirit. So sometimes someone could say, oh, I heard the voice of God. And I go, oh, like, really? He spoke? Yes, he did. But no, wasn't what this outer ear heard. It might have seemed so audible, but if this outer ear heard it, then the people around would have heard. And if I say, oh, God just spoke to me now. Yeah, like, how? It was because he spoke by the voice of the spirit. It was very loud to the person's spirit. You could think someone spoke. And then you turn around and like, who spoke? Who spoke to me? If other people were there, they wouldn't have heard a thing. Do you understand that? So God speaks to your spirit. Now, this helps you because therefore you know, oh, I relate to God's spirit to spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is speaking and he says, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. And this will help you when you understand spirit, soul, body. Because many argue over, must I pray in tongues? What's the value? What's the benefit of praying in tongues? What's the advantage? Your mind is limited. So you want to pray for your aunt or your uncle or, you know, one family member around you. What do? You pray what you know to pray. But your spirit is not limited. Now that you're a recreated spirit, you are in tune with the Holy Ghost. So you pray by the Spirit. So your prayer now has no knowledge barrier, no geographical barrier, no limitation. So physically, you're not in that anymore because you're praying now by the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 14, 14 there, Amplified says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. That means the best kind of prayer goes on there. My spirit praying with the help of the Holy Ghost, the person who knows the mind of God. So you've got to get this. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Now, the place of the soul and the spirit could be easily mixed up. All right. For instance, you look through the Bible and find the word heart. Now, heart predominantly refers to the spirit. But I would really also say that heart sometimes points out to the soul. So we could basically put the soul and the spirit together to form the heart of man. But basically, more, you know, you need to understand heart is spirit. Like we said last on this broadcast, when we tell someone, follow your heart, the person needs to know we're not saying follow your soul. We mean follow the leadership of the spirit in your spirit. Follow the guidance you get from your spirit. Follow your heart. Are you getting that? Because there's an outward man, then there's an inward man. There's the hidden man of the heart. Do you get this? So you understanding that, hey, I have to follow my heart and then I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and then I'm born again, I'm off the Holy Ghost. What must I understand? Now, what are the compartments? Now, you need to get this. Body, soul, spirit. So, like I said earlier, your body contacts the outward man. So what do I do with my body? Romans chapter 12 and the first verse, Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all right, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. So now that you're born again, God is not going to help you do something about your body. God says, you do something. What do you do? Present your body a living sacrifice. Declare your body. My body is a living sacrifice. Present it so. Paul said something when he was writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. So Paul says here from the 24th verse, know you not that they that run in a race, everybody runs, but only one person receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Every man that strives for mastery is self-controlled in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. I run, all right? I therefore run, 26, not as uncertain. So fight I not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul says here, I bring under my body. I bring under my body. So if he says, I bring under my body, it means I am not my body. I bring my body under. All right. So there's someone saying, buddy, go under. Do you get that? Buddy, you got to go under. So you put your, now, like I said earlier, if you allow your feelings, then you'll be carnal. If you allow your body wants to eat, your body wants to sleep, your body wants to have sex, your body wants to do all sorts. That's what the body wants. It craves those things. Galatians tells that the flesh lusts against the spirit and spirit against flesh. There's a conflict between those two. All right. And then you have to therefore walk in the spirit. And then that's the only way not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the flesh has cravings. The flesh likes to hear gossip about other people. The flesh wants to gossip about other people. The flesh wants to be involved in fights and get involved in pride and naughtiness and, you know, uncleanliness. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. Bible didn't say the devil lusts against the spirit. It says the flesh. So the flesh has earthly cravings. You now tell your body, no, I put you under. I know you want to react right now, but you will not react. I put you under. I know you, but you would not. I know, but you would not. I'm fasting, buddy. We're not eating yet. I mean, you put your body under. All right. So what do I do with my body? I put it under. So what about the mind? What do I do with my mind or my soul? I reprogram my soul. Same Romans chapter 12 and the second verse. Romans 12, 2. All right. 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Okay. Two, now, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed is the same word for metamorphosis. It means you morph, you change, you know, face, you change, you rearrange, you're transformed. Do you understand? How? You renew your mind. Every believer is on a lifelong project of mind renewal. You never get to a point where you stop renewing your mind. Every believer is on a lifelong project. So you wonder, how come some folk have been born again like 30 years, born again like 50 years, and they still read their Bible, still take notes in church, still, because you have to renew your mind. There are many things that bash at us, media, information coming from all around, family stuff and all. They bash at us, uncomfortable circumstances, things that want to challenge your faith. It could be health. It could be one big project, you know, that seems like so big in front of you. You've got to consistently have a renewed mind. So what God will have you and I do, okay, is put our bodies under, renew our minds, and consistently exercise the things of God within our spirit. All right? Your faith, love walk, exercise spiritual things, okay? Feed yourself and exercise. These things will help for growth. Great growth between you and I. Great growth, rather, for you and I. Do you understand that? But importantly, so that we can connect back to the emotion thing we're dealing with, we'll still deal with this, all right? Paul was saying something interesting. Paul said in 2 Corinthians and then the fourth chapter. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, maybe I'll switch to the NLT now. So 2 Corinthians and 4. Yep. From the 16th verse, it says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles, so you use bodies, spirits. Just note that, all right? Let me switch. I want you to take note of something. That's the language of the King James. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So note, it says outward man, inward man. Outward man, inward man. Your life, child of God, is lived from within. So we live inside out. In this world, inside out seems to be a misnomer, right? You don't wear your clothes inside out. There are a number of things you don't do inside out. All right. But our lives as new creature, we live from the inside out. We don't live from outside in. It's out of the abundance. Then we speak. All right. It's Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and the 23rd verse, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart will flow the issues, the forces of life. So we live from within. We live from within. The fruit of the Spirit are within. They flow out. The gifts of the Spirit are within. They flow out. In John 7, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow, yeah? Rivers of living water. In John 4, he told the woman, the water I give you will be a well of water springing up to eternal life. It flows from within you. It flows from within you. So you've got to understand, you know, how this thing works. You've got to understand how we operate. We operate from within, from inside. That's the normal for us. Okay? So Paul is saying here that the outward man may perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. All right? But NLT calls it what now? All right? Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are renewed day by day. So body, spirit, outward man, inward man. I think that's clear. 17, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles, all right, we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So there's what we see, and then there's what we cannot see. So we're still reading. We're going straight to the fifth chapter, because that's exactly where we're going. Now, from verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave our earthly body, so it calls this body earthly tent, all right? So it says again, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave our earthly body, we would have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, and not our human by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. So it calls it a tent, it calls it a cloth. So this body is not you. You have this body. So Paul is saying, we're going to put down this body. That's why when someone dies and then you're at the graveside and then you look at the body, the spirit is not there. The person isn't there. The person isn't there. So when you and I get this, you realize, why am I putting so much attention on the part of me that is the least important when it comes to all things now? Least important doesn't mean not important. If anything goes wrong with your body and it cannot sustain the spirit anymore, the person is dead. So you need the body to stay on the earth. Do you understand that? You need the body. You have to stand against sickness and disease and any level of foolishness, maybe where accidents or anything, you know, rough driving, whatever it is, so that you stay longer. If the body is affected, the spirit checks out. So all because I said least important is least of three. All right? Not important. So you have to put this in, you know, its proper perspective so that we get this, you know, properly guarded. So we've got to just get the language, all right? So we have our bodies, but our bodies are not us. So if I invest all of my life, all of my time, all of my energy on everything just earthly, just my body, and I'm missing something. Keep reading. All right. So Paul in verse 3 says, for we'll put on our heavenly bodies. Put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. That means spirits can be without bodies, even if it's temporarily. All right. We either go by, you know, the Lord catching us up, or we'll go by grave. What I mean is, someday if the Lord tarries, all right, we'll be, if the Lord tarries is coming, we'll have burial ceremonies, if you understand what I'm saying. And then people will cry, oh, but the person is not, the spirit is no longer there. The body is not useless. That same body will be resurrected. All right? Thessalonians teaches us that. All right? That the body will be lifted up. It will be resurrected. It will form back again. You're like, what about the decomposed body? Matter is never lost. No matter is lost. It will form together again. And we have an idea of that from Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. Nothing is lost. It will form together again. All right? That body will now be swallowed up by life. So we who are alive will be changed. It's the same body that will now receive, all right? Like Jesus is not resurrected with a different body. So it's the same thing that will happen to us. We'll resurrect with our own bodies, this same body. But what if my body was mangled and it's receiving eternal life? So it's going to be super, super healed and super okay. All right. Jesus still has his scars because he needs to have those scars. All right. So that's, he came and then he showed it to us. So not like, oh, if I have an accident and then resurrected, would the accident be there? I think not. So Paul is saying, all right, verse 4, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it is not that we want to die and get rid of our bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and he has given us as a guarantee his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, all right? For we live by believing and not by seeing. That's walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are fully confident and would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Verse 9. So whether we are here, in the body, away from the body, our goal is to please the Lord. So while you're in the body, focus on pleasing the Lord. Not just, I'm in my body. Do what you want to do. No. Don't be led by that. So you must understand, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in this body. Now, so we've seen the body. The body is the outer man. So what about the inner man? So do we say the inner man is spirit alone primarily? But the spirit has a soul. The soul and the spirit can't be separated. They're always together. Please understand that. Because the spirit, we're told, has the mind, the will, and the emotion. Some add imagination and all of that. But basically, the spirit has the mind, and the soul rather, has the mind, the will, and the emotions. And we've began with talking about emotions, but we're looking at the general spectrum now. The mind. This is where you do what? You reason. Will. You make decisions. Emotions. You feel. You get that? All right? The mind. You reason. Will. You make decisions. Emotions. You feel. Your soul. So we can program your decision making. Program what you use your will on, and then program the feeling, all by going to God's word. So let me use an example of relationship and put the three of them in it. So maybe a lady, you know, realizes, you know, I'm going to break up with the guy. All right. So he's done X, Y, Z, and I'm not sure he's got a future for me. You know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm breaking up with him. So she's reasoned it. All right. So then she decides, I am breaking up with him tomorrow. So will, all right? So she reasons, you know, and then will, mind will. So she gets there and toughens up. And she says all she wants to say. And then he begins to shed tears. And then, oh, you know, tells her, look into my eyes and tell me you don't love me anymore. And all that. He plays on that last part, the emotions. So the mind is going, no, no, no. The will says, ah! We said, no, emotions go. Let's give him one more chance. All right. Or whatever you could think of. All right. You know, that could help your own understanding of it. So let's give him one more chance. So you get to wonder, what's that guy doing with that girl? Or what's that girl doing with that guy? It's the emotions. The emotions are, you know, they find it easy to detach, and they can always overrun. If you don't have that firmness over the grasp of the will, they would overrun it. That's why once again I said, they are great horses to ride, but when they run wild and free, you could be in trouble. They don't lead well. They follow. They follow. So you make up your mind and you say, no, this is what I'm going to do. Then the emotions are battling and fighting. You stay there. After a while, the emotions will slow down and follow. The mind could function like a sports car, all right? Just get to the bend and turn, and then move. That's the mind. Could function like a sports car. The emotions function like a truck, all right? Like a 911, all right? Big old 18-wheeler truck. It can't get to the bend and turn. It drives for a while, finds how to bend, and keeps coming. So that while it's throwing tantrums. I don't want to change my mind. I don't want to change. But you've got to keep the will where you want it to be. Got to keep the reasoning where you want it to be. The emotions would cut the corner gradually. Cut the corner gradually, and then it hooks up. So most times, we're not patient enough to allow it make that twist. What helps you to do that faster is when you get into God's word and fill up your mind more and more. You renew your mind with God's word. your compartments, the compartments in your soul, they would agree better. Hope this is helpful. All right. Someone just got light, I'm sure, on, oh, that's why I couldn't make up my mind on that on time. Many times when you're attached, all right, there's that soft spot. All right. It's always played upon. The soul would always trigger. And then it influences the decision making. But don't make soul based, all right, decisions. Don't make emotion based decisions. Make spirit based decisions. Make word based decisions. Make principle based decisions. All right. Did you get that? Principle centered living. So you look at, okay, this is it. And this is why. It doesn't make you not flexible. You need to be flexible when you ought to be flexible, but principle centered. This is where I'm headed. This is why I have got to get there. And this is what it is. All right. So I believe someone's getting something. So we have the outward man, then the inward man. Okay. So we have the spirit being the inward man. And then we have, you know, the body being the outward man. But I said, you know, the spirit and the soul, you know, really like hang out together. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? You do, right? So Bible says the rich man was, you know, he died and was buried. Lazarus, you know, died and was, you know, carried up. Luke 16. Then the rich man looked up and saw Abraham. So he knew Abraham. That means in the realm of spirit, you could recognize people. You could know people. And he said to Father Abraham, say to Lazarus. All right. I mean, send Lazarus. So that means you could tell someone something. You could remember someone. It's interesting. Isn't it interesting? He says, oh, I'm thirsty. All right. Let him dip his finger and cool my tongue. That means somehow body is buried, but he still has a spirit. He's alive. Are you getting this? So when you say someone is dead, the person is not just now floating-ish, lost consciousness-ish, you know, floating somewhere in orbit. No. Person is very alive. Very alive. Very alive. All right. Let me just read. All right. Luke 16 from 19. But I won't be able to do from 19 because of time. So let's see what we could do. So Luke 16. Yeah, da, 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 da. Yep. And then, da, 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 da. All right. So, 23. And in hell, all right. That's the, okay. 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cries and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He knew him. All right. That he may dip the tip of his finger into water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Dip the tip of his finger. Lazarus will still have finger and cool my tongue. He will still have tongue. These two guys are talking in the valley of the dead. They are alive. They are alive. To be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. As at the time of the story, Jesus was very much on earth. So nobody could be present with the Lord. The Lord himself had not died and resurrected. It was on the earth. Huh? Please understand this. And this is not a parable. In the 19th verse of Luke 16, Jesus said, there was a certain man. Not a parable. Usually when he's telling a parable, we're told it's a parable. This is not a parable. This actually happened. Are you getting this now? So this is not just one of those stories that Jesus came up with, all right, to try to illustrate his preaching. No, it's not a parable. It's not a parable. This one, for real. So these guys were real, alive. All right. Now, verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember, how can someone in the valley of the dead, the region of the dead, remember? So that means the faculty of the soul is active. So the spirit is the inner man or inward man. Then the body is the outer man. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. The soul and the spirit are together. They are inseparable. The spirit has a soul. The spirit has a faculty. God has a soul. All right? Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve someone who cannot feel. So the realm of feelings is in the soul. So God is spirit that has a soul. And God made man like himself. Don't forget in Genesis chapter 1. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And God formed man from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, a soul that has life. Animals have souls, but they don't have life with their soul. They don't have spirit. That life is a spirit. They're not alive. They don't live beyond now. The animals are dead. They're dead. They're gone now. Some might not like that, but. Oh, you say when my dog dies, that's the end. I'm not going to see my dog again. I think so. I'm not going to see my dog again too. All right. So, all right. So, we were spirits. So we have souls. So that faculty, that mind, that reasoning, that is a faculty of the soul. Isn't it interesting? That means, you know, you'll say, oh, that person has a brain problem, so he cannot reason well anymore. And then these guys are dead. That means brain. Brain is physical. Brain was buried with the body. And then they can remember. That means remembrance is not of the brain. It's of the soul. Are you getting this? Please understand this. So when I say, oh, because I'm over XYZ age, I'm beginning to forget things. No, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. I don't forget things. I'm renewed. My inward man is renewed. Your brain, you know, that thing, that brain, the skull, brain, everything, they are part of this physical body, outward man. Your soul is in the inward man. It's inward man. So all because someone is, you know, deaf and dumb, you know, certain faculties in the physical body have been destroyed, doesn't mean a person is spiritually deaf and dumb. Please understand that. The spirit is looking for liberty and expression. So when the person drops his body, he can speak because his spirit is alive. Please understand this. We are predominantly spirits. We are primarily spirits that have souls. We now live in this body. That's how God made man. Man will always live in his body. So if we leave our bodies, exit our bodies temporarily, what we read in 2 Corinthians, Paul was saying, all right, we're not looking for how to be spirits without bodies. We want to have our bodies. We want to. So what's going to happen is we drop the earthly body. We take up the spiritual body. This spiritual body is one that has life, that has the nature of God. Please understand that. It has the nature and the life of God. That's our spiritual body. Please get this. So you and I must therefore realize, okay, if man is still alive after man is said to be dead, then I shouldn't just invest all of my time and all of my life on this outward man. The most monies we spend, check yourself right now. Check. Take a look at your wardrobe. Take a look at every part of your house. The most monies we spend goes where? The outward man. Clothing, feeding, comfort. The most monies we spend. Next category, the soul. Yes, a part of the inward man, but the soul. Entertainment, education, information. The soul, the least invested in of these three is the spirit of man. The least invested in of these three is the spirit of man. The most important of the three is the spirit of man. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So I need to run a check. Think through. Because we're dealing with the development of our spirit. We're dealing with our spiritual capacity building. And that's a new series we're going into right now. Right? So maybe we'll call it what? Hidden man of a heart. That's what Peter calls it in 1 Peter. Maybe we'll read that quickly before I say goodbye, right? So in 1 Peter, chapter 3 of 1 Peter, so Peter is talking to wives and he says, hey, wives, honor your husbands, all right? So wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they will without the word be won by the conversation of wives while they see, all right, your chaste behavior, meaning if your husband is not born again, you could use your good behavior. Through your good behavior, he'll be touched. Same thing happens, you know, vice versa, right? Verse 3, it says, the adorning of the wife, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting of apparel. So Peter is not saying they shouldn't wear clothes, all right? He's just saying it shouldn't be the focus. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. It means adorn your spirit more than you would adorn. You find that you fall in love or you get attracted to someone who is so beautiful. But then you realize you could be put off by the character. You see this hunk of a guy, very handsome and all of that. But then you relate with him and you realize he lacks courtesy. You're put off. All right. So the adorning, all right. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is inside of God, is of great price. So you and I, all right. You and I have got to give attention to the hidden man of the heart. So we might want to call it hidden man of the heart series. We might want to call it spiritual body series. But join me from next Sunday, maybe for the rest, maybe a couple of weeks. Let's dig deeper. Share this with a friend. Tell a friend about it. Please, let's dig deeper into the hidden man of the heart. How to live from inside out. How to bring the rich resources within our spirit into the fore. I believe this blessed you. Please visit our website, all right? www.lionrexanasia.com. If you're watching video, it's already on the screen. Audio, once again, lionrexanasia.com. Please, there are over 80 messages there. Free download. They will bless you. If you have questions or comments, please email Rex, Reverend Rex, R-E-V-R-E-X, at the website, lionrexanasia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Drop comments where you are. Let's get feedback. Let's know this is blessing you. And please share. Share and share. Let somebody get blessed. Let somebody get blessed. I love you. Thank you for always joining. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Have fun. Bye.
Hi, my name is Lion Rex Onosie. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes the new creation, that's the born-again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow, yes, and that's it really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you. Looking forward to great times together. God bless you.